It's 4:06. You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Means it's time for a little drive time radio here with Brett Johnson and Eric Nelson. And you guys talked about at the beginning of Matt's show how bright it is outside. I was trying to kind of figure that out as I was going to lunch and running a couple errands. And yeah, I was like, I didn't have my sunglasses with me. And I'm like, I'm really having a tough time seeing. Did I not sleep well last night or what? But yeah, it is that reflection of the sun on the snow. What did you describe it as?
Oh, just a mirror. I mean,
yeah, it's like
there's an area on 35W going south when you go through Burnsville, and you're kind of in like a parabola. And it feels like all the sun's light is being directed straight into your face.
Yeah, that's got to be tough on the eyes there. Hopefully you at least brought sunglasses.
Oh, I don't have any.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. I leave when it's dark out. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, we kind of luck out here in the month of December where it's dark by the time my show ends, which is both good and, well, mostly depressing. Good in the fact that I don't have to look at the bright sun on the way out, but it also is kind of not very fun to leave the station and know that it's dark and it's only like 5-something outside.
You got to get those, Polar Explorer sunglasses that are like flight goggles or something. Those are always cool.
Or whenever I watch. So a couple confessions here. I'm a fan of watching. Have you ever seen Comet TV before?
No.
Okay, so I don't have cable at home. I just use the antenna. And there's this one channel called Comet TV, where it basically is just showing like nerdy, bad sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm.
But they always advertise for tactical products. Whether it's tactical goggles or a tactical ruler.
That's my favorite word to describe products that are just made for like insecure men. It's just black and...
Yeah. And it's got to be military grade and it's got to be tactical. Yeah.
Tactical chapstick.
Tactical chapstick. Yeah, they've just about sold those types of things as well. And I'm pretty sure going back to what we were saying, they do have something called like tactical sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
That were used in the military during Operation Desert Storm. Get your tactical sunglasses.
It's great for tactics.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually half the fun of watching Comet TV is not necessarily the bad sci-fi movies, but actually watching the commercials in between. Because, it's a plethora of bad late-night types of TV advertisements and infomercials.
It's like a flea market. If every booth at a flea market could put up a commercial.
Oh,
get all your ninja equipment.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, they've got ninja products on there. They also have another one I like where it's basically this bank debit card that will send you a text message every time you use your card so you feel secure. That would actually strike me as being kind of annoying. And then, of course,
get annoying fast.
Yeah. And then, of course, they have one of my favorites, Bosley's Regrow Your Hair for Men. I can do with my eye. I won't even do an impression of the commercial, but it's pretty funny. You should check it out there. I've just about have it somewhat memorized since I've seen it a number of times. All right, well, let's actually get to some, sort of real news for today. And before we actually dive into political news, the other confession I was talking about I need to make is that, I'm a fan of the James Bond series. I know, it's kind of a... Not the best movies of all time. I know you've confessed to being a fan of The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, James Bond has some gems.
Yeah.
It has some stinkers too, but I think it has some gems.
Recently, they've been doing a much better job. And what I've liked that they've done under the recent Daniel Craig movies is that they actually have continuity between the movies because, especially during the Pierce Brosnan and even during the Roger Moore era, each movie just kind of felt like a standalone thing with no continuity. But I've been happy with the new ones, how they actually do have some actual continuity from movie to movie. And the reason I bring it up, they just released the trailer for the new Bond movie today, No Time to Die, which is coming out next spring. And very happy that they're bringing back Blofeld, who is played by Christoph Waltz. He's actually going to be returning for that movie. It was rumored he was not. In fact, he wasn't even listed on the cast, but apparently he will be making his return. So yeah, little plug there. I'm a fan of the Bond movies, and that is coming out next spring. I'll be happy about that. And I feel like they may have kind of gone down the same sort of road in terms of quality as Fast and the Furious,
to be improving, or they entered a new generation where they kind of abandoned it wasn't working.
I definitely feel like that's been the case, so I'm looking forward to that next spring. All right, let's get to the political news for today, though, since we're not really a pop culture type show. It would be a really boring show if I tried to make it a pop culture show. I got to start off with this, though, in terms of our political news. So, Eric, I don't know if you're aware, but each year the White House decorates Christmas around the premises, and they've done, some really interesting Christmas themes, I shall say, the past few years, where if you remember last year, I think they had kind of that dark hallway with roses. Do you remember that at all? Yeah. Well, this year they've kind of taken it to a whole nother level as they just released a video from the White House Twitter account, and I encourage you to check it out. But it's all white with more long hallways, and someone described it best as kind of being a cross between like those Lexus December to Remember events and The Shining, which actually is kind of accurate. Yeah, it almost looks like kind of a horror movie trailer because everything is very creepily bright and very white.
Okay, it's lit up like a hospital.
Yeah, that's actually a good way to describe it, too. And
Very sterile and well-lit.
Yeah, even the little model they have of the White House, they put out like a little mini version of the White House. It actually looks more like the hotel from The Shining in there. So, yeah, they've been struggling to decorate the hotel. Not exactly a very surface issue, obviously, but I just find that funny.
Yeah.
They've struggled for years and years to not decorate the White House correctly.
I mean, I have, no end of criticisms for the Trump White House, but I think that their decoration choices are always pretty cool. People criticize them as being traditional, but they're always interesting to me.
Wasn't it like 2 years ago, I think they had that theme of basically having thorns everywhere?
Oh, that's my favorite one. Yeah, it looks spooky.
That was more like a Tim Burton kind of Christmas. That actually, could be somewhat aesthetically pleasing. But you're also the president of the United States. You kind of need to appeal to everybody with your Christmas decorations.
It does not matter ultimately.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that actually comes from Melania being of Eastern European descent, where maybe they're a little more into that kind of Gothic style. It's definitely different, but...
Oh, yeah, she's got Krampus in the decorations.
Right. But either way, this year I'm not buying it with the kind of cross between... the Lexus commercials and also The Shining. By the way, I'm not a big fan of all of those Lexus commercials because who actually goes and makes a gift of giving a car to someone that's a Lexus?
Yeah, who gives a car as a gift with the giant bow?
Yeah.
And I feel like if you were in, giving your wife a Lexus, she might be kind of pissed that you didn't consult her.
That would be the first reaction. You spend how much money on a Lexus for my Christmas gift? That would be more the natural reaction, not the, let me choose what color I want. So I encourage you to check that out. Take a look at the White House Christmas tree and their decorations around the premises. All right. Also in the news today, having to do with Christmas, and this one is actually very creepy that has to do with Amazon, and that is their product called Ring. Are you familiar with Ring products from Amazon, Eric?
Yeah, it's like home surveillance, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, the rumor is, and they've actually uncovered a number of documents showing that this could be the case, The Intercept working on this, is that Ring, which is Amazon's crime-fighting surveillance camera division, has crafted plans to use facial recognition software and its ever-expanding network of home security cameras to basically create a neighborhood watch list.
Yeah. Of course, there's like – and then Google has a similar product of like home surveillance cameras. Like when did Google get in the market of developing, home surveillance? What are they possibly using this for?
Oh, it's Google especially as well.
Yeah, Facebook has a line of their own.
Wait, Facebook actually has a model of security cameras?
Yeah, or like home cameras that you would put in your home so you can look at, like a baby monitor kind of thing.
Not saying I would trust Amazon or Google, but going to Facebook, that's about the last company on earth I would want actually monitor.
All these big data companies are coming out with similar products, and it's pretty obvious their intentions.
Yeah, and that's essentially what they're doing here with Amazon, according to The Intercept, is basically having these watch lists for each neighborhood, which is super creepy. So The Intercept is reporting the planning materials envision a seamless system whereby a Ring owner would be automatically alerted when an individual deemed suspicious was captured on their camera's frame, something described as a suspicious activity prompt. Is that Big Brotherish or what?
How could they possibly – what's a suspicious activity prompt? Like sneaking? You're crouched down? I don't know.
Yeah, or like if I'm sitting here hosting the radio show, and let's say I have a Ring at home. Do I all of a sudden get like a text message saying, hey, there's a creepy person by your house?
There's a child riding his bike in a very creepy manner.
Yeah, exactly. Or what I'm more concerned about, like, do they somehow have access to police databases where they can actually use facial recognition to say, hey, this person has a misdemeanor on their record, therefore, every time they show up on your camera, we're going to send you a suspicious activity prompt to your phone.
I'm sure they'd be like excited to sell that data to the police department.
Exactly, and that's what they're talking about too here in The Intercept, where they say it's unclear who would have access to these neighborhood watch lists is it really that unclear? But anyways, if implemented, or how exactly they would be compiled, but the documents refer repeatedly to law enforcement, and Ring has forged partnerships with police departments throughout the United States, raising the possibility that the lists could be used to aid local authorities. The documents indicate that the lists would be available in Ring's neighborhood app, though the Ring camera owners, where the Ring camera owners rather discuss potential porch and garage security threats with others nearby. And that leads to, of course, another issue is who actually gets access to the neighborhood Ring security app to figure out who is a suspicious threat. So, yeah, that's definitely apparently happening with Amazon's Ring, according to The Intercept, as they always do good work reporting on those types of things. All right, one more news story to pass along to you before we touch on some local topics in the next segment, and that is Bernie Sanders is actually getting involved with Major League Baseball, of all things, because at least in the baseball world, and as someone who follows sports rather closely, there's something significant that actually could be happening in the baseball world as soon as 2021. Major League Baseball actually is planning on eliminating 42 of their minor league baseball teams. Basically, the way baseball is structured is that each major league team has, I think it's 6 or 7 minor league affiliates, which altogether, if you do the math, that comes to a little over 200 total baseball teams that are affiliated with MLB. And now Major League Baseball wants to eliminate 42 of those teams, mostly at the lower levels that play in very small towns. And Bernie Sanders has actually gotten very involved in this topic and actually has set up a meeting with the commissioner of MLB, Rob Manfred, because he's very concerned about the fact that people who live in these small towns are all of a sudden going to possibly be without a job. That's people who work at stadiums. Also, people who own the ball clubs and actually work for the baseball teams could be in trouble. And what I think it's important to bring out is that, yeah, this is much different than, like, let's say, a Major League Baseball team or any professional sport where, yeah, you're typically getting low-wage workers that are working in very, well, urban areas. I think it's much different when you're talking about minor league baseball teams where generally, that's the only form of entertainment in those specific towns. And all of a sudden, if they lose those teams, well, there goes a tourist attraction and there goes a whole bunch of different jobs. So Sanders out there meeting with Major League Baseball, trying to come up with a solution because, yeah, it would be too bad to actually see that happen, being that if you've lived in a small town and they have a minor league baseball team, those are always kind of fun events to go to. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I believe he's meeting with Rob Manfred later this week. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break and talk about some local news, including Ilhan Omar actually facing a somewhat competitive challenge in the DFL primary. We're going to talk more about that up next, as well as some other news.
Economists say 70% of our economy is driven by consumer spending. What if we shifted our spending? You betcha box we can. You betcha box offers a wide selection of locally sourced gift boxes that are a perfect gift this holiday season. This unique gift is ideal for clients and the foodie in your life. The Land of Lakes tea box features well-rooted tea, 100% sourced from local farms and foraged from Minnesota forests. Ames Farm single source honey, savory marsh flower from Delano, and some chai masala from St. Paul-based Ancient Indian Spices, zesty lemon rosemary nuts from Isidore Nut Company, and Annie's Caramels. Find all these products, plus an exclusive local Love Gray Duck Minnesota Proud Tea Tall in the AM950 sponsored the Land of Lakes Tea Time You Betcha box. Perfect for client gift-giving, family celebrations, and creating your very own Land of Lakes Tea Time. Go to youbetchabox.com and order Land of Lakes Tea Time.
The British are coming! The British are coming! The British are coming! Hey, you there! I'm Paul Revere! The British are coming! Where is everyone?
Ben Franklin dispatched the evacuation warning on Facebook. Didn't you get it?
Hi, I'm Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If your marketing is behind the times, contact us today online at socialmediamn.com or at 763-244-4058. We can help your business message get dispatched and selected on social media and Google search. We offer uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions for businesses of all sizes. SocialMediaMN.com or 763-244-4058.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman for Continental Diamond. The experts at Continental Diamond have years of industry experience and know all the latest trends. And this holiday season, they can help you find that timeless, unforgettable gift, no matter your budget. Find out why the readers of Minnesota Bride magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler in the Twin Cities for the last 10 years. Continental Diamond, adjacent to the west end of St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com. That's Continental Diamond for the perfect holiday gift. Continental Diamond and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson and Eric Nelson, also on the 4 o'clock show today. Reminder, Robert Pilot is coming up at 5 o'clock, and oh, I forgot to pass along to Robert the new name suggestion we got from David the Trucker, who was thinking we got to call it Pilot's Progressive Perspective, which if we go with that, I guess that means we got to switch that theme as well, since we're doing the, what's the theme song for Robert Pilot's show?
Pink's Get This Party Started.
Get This Party Started, that's right, since right now it's at least Pilot's Progressive Party. We'll also hopefully be speaking with Robert towards the end of the show, as he has lots of great interviews coming up on the Triple P. Call it that for now, because either if it's Pilot's Progressive Party or Pilot's Progressive Perspective, who say that three times fast, it's still a show that has three P's in it, so I'll hopefully have Robert on towards the end of the show, as he has lots of great interviews lined up. Also, just saw this come through on Twitter, and this is just sometimes some of these representatives, I don't know if they necessarily don't quite pick up on their self-awareness, but Matt Gaetz, of course, one of the big Republicans defending Trump, said, "When will Democrats bring in witnesses with actual firsthand knowledge of Representative Adam Schiff's sham impeachment report?" Well, that's exactly what we want to have happen, but unfortunately, the White House is, of course, blocking pretty much all of those people that actually do have firsthand knowledge of Trump's interactions with foreign leaders. Let's get to some local news for today, and we're going to actually start things off in the 5th Congressional District, because Ilhan Omar, even though, as you're well aware, she does have a Republican challenger in the name of Danielle Stella, who has quite the checkered legal history, she's also facing another challenger within the Democratic Party. That is actually a challenge from someone by the name of Anton Melton Moe, who is from Minneapolis, currently lives in Uptown. In his press release, he said, "My parents both worked hard to provide for my sisters and me. My dad was an engineer, and my mom worked to find affordable homes for those in need. They taught me the values of community, faith, and hard work, and to create opportunities I had for others." So he's also been courting a number of DFL donors as well. So it doesn't look like he's actually just out there as a so-called kind of token challenger that's just out there to say, hey, we actually have a challenger to Ilhan Omar. It looks like he actually is trying to raise money and does actually have Democratic positions. Of course, that's still a very uphill fight to actually knock off a sitting incumbent that is still very popular within the 5th District, but she at least does have Ilhan Omar, a somewhat formidable challenge on the way from, again, the name of Anton Melton Moe, who is challenging Omar in the 5th District.
Yeah, I mean, she's very popular. Like, when I was at the Bernie rally, I think she might have gotten a greater response from the crowd than even Bernie.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
The entire stadium was, like, lit up for her.
Yeah, and I think people actually really like the fact that she comes off as being very authentic. She, kind of has the same sort of quality that sometimes a lot of conservative voters like in their politicians, where they're saying, well, at least I know where they stand on those issues. I remember hearing that a lot during the 2004 election cycle, and you can largely make that same argument about Ilhan Omar. You generally know where she's going to come down on an issue. She's not going to be very wishy-washy and try to play, oh, what's the correct political answer?
Yeah, where it feels like she's trying to determine her political positions in the midst of a race. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what's the most popular position I can have?
Yeah, so I would certainly agree that, yeah, this guy challenging her probably is not going to win. I think the more fascinating thing to see in this race would be what percentage of the vote he might get, just to maybe gauge if there actually is some DFL opposition to Ilhan Omar for maybe a future challenge from a higher profile candidate, or if he got like 20 or even 30% of the vote in the primary, maybe that could actually get some DFLers in the Minneapolis area that are a little more high profile to possibly run against Omar in a future cycle. But yeah, either way for 2020, pretty much no chance to actually knock her off. I think this is going to be more of a gauge in terms of how much support Omar actually has, whether that's 60, 70, or 80%. Also in the news in terms of congressional races here in Minnesota, and this goes down to the 1st Congressional District, a little disappointing to hear this, and I'm still hoping to have this guy on the airwaves here on AM 950. That's Dan Feehan, who is running in the 1st Congressional District and seeking the DFL endorsement to face Jim Hagedorn. Feehan actually is, I think, facing a couple of primary challengers, but he is the heavy favorite to get the DFL nomination, being that he was the candidate to run against Hagedorn in 2018 and, quite frankly, almost win. I remember doing that election night coverage with Eric and Hunter, where I think we were watching that race go neck and neck and down to the wire, where it was within a few hundred votes for most of the night until Hagedorn kind of pulled away at the end. But back to Feehan. He's basically come out and said that, well, he's not in favor of the Green New Deal, he's not in favor of free four-year college, and also not a fan of Medicare for All either. So we'll see how this strategy works out, being that he actually was trying to kind of portray himself as being a more progressive candidate back in 2018. And here in the 2020 election cycle, now that he's running again against Hagedorn, he seems to be kind of going down more of the moderate route. So we'll see if he actually fares any better. I think ultimately, of course, it comes down to, well, how Trump does on the ballot. Not so much actually where Feehan stands on issues, but we will see as we approach November of 2020. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Going to take an early break because coming up next on the show, I want to talk about an article that was just written in The Atlantic today, which talks about 5 myths about the Electoral College, because I want to expand on something that they wrote in The Atlantic, and that is this idea that, of course, we actually used to have our state legislatures elect governors and senators. Question is, would that actually be a good idea to do again? We'll talk more about that up next.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, December 4th, 2019. I'm Dan Hyman. Impeachment hearings begin in the House Judiciary Committee today. With a 300-page report from the Intelligence Committee in hand, members of Judiciary will start with the legal definition of high crimes and misdemeanors as set out in the Constitution as grounds for impeachment. Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says their investigation has turned up undeniable proof that President Donald Trump led a months-long effort that included members of his cabinet in withholding military aid to force Ukraine to provide dirt on Trump's domestic political opponents. Hundreds of striking bus drivers with the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority returned to the picket lines in Northern Virginia this week after a short Thanksgiving break. They say privatized routes have created unsafe workplaces as companies try to cut corners, and the drivers say their families can't survive on the health insurance plan they're being offered.
The strike by Amalgamated Transit Union Local 689 is now in its second month. It's the result of the union's first contract negotiations with Transdev, a French company subcontracted by WMATA to run the facility. Workers are pushing for safer work conditions and the same pay and benefits as unionized metro workers, according to Local 689 president Raymond Jackson.
What Transdev is saying is not just that you make $12 an hour less than your counterparts, but they're saying that we're willing to pay you a grand total of 60 cents more over the next 3 years.
In an email statement, Transdev disputes the union's claims. This is the first metro bus strike in 41 years. For Public News Service, I'm Diane Bernard.
This is PNS. A scientific advisory committee meeting this week in North Carolina will look at the EPA's standards for tiny particles in the air. The consensus is this smallest particulate matter threatens the health of any that breathe it. But they say it's unlikely the EPA will change clean air rules.
Millions of Americans live in counties where breathing the air is linked to increased risk of lung cancer, early death, and other health problems. John Bachman is a former associate director for science and policy.
EPA has previously determined there is a causal relationship between fine particles and mortality.
An independent panel of scientists recently concluded that the EPA's current standard isn't enough to protect human health. But Bachman predicts the EPA is likely to maintain that the current standards are sufficient. The EPA is expected to make a decision on changing the standards sometime next year. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
There's been positive movement in reducing racial gaps in prison populations across the U.S., according to a new report. However, there's a long way to go.
The report from the Council on Criminal Justice says fewer Black Americans are being arrested for drug crimes and violent crimes. Adam Gell, president of the Nonpartisan Council, says the report looks at data between the years 2000 and 2016, and the findings provide a glimmer of hope.
Many of the racial gaps are shrinking, particularly among women and particularly for drug offenses. The gaps are still huge, but this is a problem that has gone from worse to bad.
For example, the report says in 2000, African Americans were imprisoned for drug crimes at 15 times the rate of whites, but that ratio had fallen to just under 5-1 by 2016. Mike Moen, Public News Service.
I'm Dan Hyman for Public News Service, a member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
Twin Cities Ballet is proudly celebrating 10 years of a Minnesota Nutcracker at Ames Center in Burnsville, December 13th through the 15th. Twin Cities Ballet presents this beloved holiday classic with a Minnesota twist and is one of the most attended must-see holiday events in the Twin Cities. Twin Cities Ballet's A Minnesota Nutcracker will provide delightful entertainment for your whole family. Tickets on sale now at TwinCitiesBallet.org. TwinCitiesBallet.org.
Make gift-giving more meaningful this holiday season. Shop at Northern Sun, where you can find gifts and make a statement. From t-shirts to stickers, magnets, and posters, Northern Sun has products with messages of love, tolerance, hope, and resistance. We're purveyors of products that promote inclusion since 1979. Northern Sun, 2916 East Lake Street, Minneapolis, and at northernsun.com.
The Audubon Center of the Northwoods on Grindstone Lake west of Sandstone offers a great variety of environmental learning experiences for people of all ages running year-round. But did you know you can book your own event here at the center? Check out our Lakeside Dining Hall and the variety of lodging and meeting accommodations available. Visit us on the web at audubon-center.org or call 320-245-ACNW. The Audubon Center of the Northwoods.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with a low around 20. Thursday, cloudy with a high near 32 and a low of 12. While Friday will be sunny with a high of 20 and a low of 16. Saturday temperatures warming up, expect mid-30s. Remember to shop local with one of AM 950's advertisers for the holidays. Featuring everything from wellness to pet care, restaurants, and much more. It's a great way to support not only AM 950, but the local businesses and shops. For a full list of advertisers, go to am950radio.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota here at 434 at the AM 950 studios in Eden Prairie. Going to talk about this piece written in The Atlantic today, talking about some of the myths of the Electoral College. And then I am going to expand on that idea and talk about whether it would be a good idea to go back to the way we actually used to have our electoral system here in the U.S., where it was actually our state legislatures who were selecting our senators and actually our Congress people who were selecting the President of the United States. Might actually make an argument for why that could be a good idea to go back to in just a few minutes. But first, let's go to the phone lines. We got Gary in Minneapolis, who has been hanging on for a while, and he wants to talk about Medicare for All. Hi there, Gary.
Yeah, they act like it's something extreme to ask for that. You know, we've been trying to get something like that ever since Harry Truman, and before that, Walter Reuther and the unions in the 30s and 40s when they were organizing, and finally the country went massively union when the UAW took down the auto industry and got organized and made it come to the table. They said, we want health care. You know, there wasn't any health care insurance to Mount Vaping before that. And he said, yeah, well, finally they said, we'll give you health care, but it has to be our way. And that's the insurance cartels we have today, employer-based health care. So they had to take it that way, you know, compromise. And so that's how we got stuck with it. And then way back when I was young, guys like Congressman Fraser, you know, Don Fraser, our former mayor and congressman, he was pushing for a single payer, I believe, and Hubert Humphrey and John Kennedy. And so it's something we wanted, but the big money clamorous, you know, Wall Street's got their fingers all over all this profiteering, too, in health care and other stuff. And, the auto industry had their fingers in the health care industry. That's why they never wanted to save their General Motors and complain about the cost of health care making their cars, but they had their fingers in health care also, so they didn't want to kill that profit trade either. So then Paul Wellstone had a single payer system, the Canadian style, like Medicare. And he said, we have a great healthcare system if you're healthy, but if you're sick, watch out, they'll drop you. That's mm-hmm. the kind of crap we had to put up all these years. So what's wrong with it?
Yeah, well said, Gary. Yeah, it's a great healthcare system as long as you stay healthy. Once you actually have to start using your benefits, well, then you might not be quite as impressed with your actual healthcare policy when you're figuring out that you still have to actually pay 20% or 30% or sometimes even more of whatever health procedure you're actually getting. And by the way, talking about lobbyists and the healthcare industry being involved, of course, with politicians and writing legislation, The Hill actually just broke this today, talking about how a number of healthcare industry, I shouldn't even say healthcare industry, it's the health insurance industry lobbyists, were helping write op-eds for Democratic politicians against Medicare for All. This is from The Hill again. They said lobbyists were heavily involved in the writing of opinion columns critical of Medicare for All by state lawmakers, who were Democrats, by the way, according to The Washington Post and The Hill, which cited emails obtained by the newspaper. Montana State Representative Kathy Keller, a Democrat, and also State Senator Jen Gross, also a Democrat, both acknowledged in interviews that lobbyists and consultant John McDonald provided proposed language for their respective columns, according to the Post, and that was language actually against Medicare for All, even though those are actually Democratic politicians. So yeah, the health insurance industry certainly having plenty of influence even on the Democratic politicians. Let's go to another phone call. We got Mark in Fridley who's been hanging on. We got Mark who wants to talk about FedEx. Hey there, Mark.
Well, what I want to talk about is what we should all talk about. And what everybody in this listening audience needs to do is to call Senator Smith, Senator Klobuchar, and their congressperson representative, because there's an article in the Star Tribune today, and we've talked about this before. You know how much money FedEx Corporation, that has 85,000 trucks, 650 airplanes using our highways, our freeway infrastructure, they pay zero in taxes.
Like several companies, yes.
And you've got Amazon, Google, and Facebook. All of this talk about quid pro quo, lobbying is a legalized bribery.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing up that term. Quid pro quo is, yeah, a legal term, but it's really bribery. Don't sugarcoat it. Yeah,
something for something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Everything the government does is quid pro quo. Now, when Amazon, Facebook, and Google spent $55 million lobbying congresspeople, and again, there was a Russian political commentator that said, you know, American politicians are the cheapest ones on the market that you can buy today. When Amazon, Facebook, and Google spends $55 million on lobbyists, that's what they make in combined in about 5 minutes. So it's a pittance.
Mm-hmm.
But you ask the average American person, does Amazon pay taxes, federal taxes? Does Apple, does Facebook, does Google, does Microsoft, does Netflix? No. Does General Electric? No. Does Boeing? No. How are we keeping the United States alive? Because we go into debt, borrowing money from people we say are our sworn enemy, Russia and China, and that buy our bonds that are no longer going to do that. And so if you're upset about the impeachment show, that is infinitesimal to these core issues that we should be paying attention to. And the fact that American corporations, I'm not afraid of Russia invading us. I'm not afraid of China. I'm afraid of Facebook, like you said, I'm afraid of Amazon. That Ring is Big Brother. Ring started off as a private company, then got bought up for billions of dollars by Amazon. And all of that is linked to fusion centers and the FBI and the military-industrial complex throughout the United States. And you have to ask yourself, how does FedEx get away with not paying any taxes? Because they pay lobbyists pennies on the dollar for what they don't pay in federal taxes that support. So if you want to talk about patriotism versus treason, Amazon, record profits, trillions of dollars, Apple, Facebook, they don't pay taxes. They're not patriotic. They're not treason. So if we paid half as much attention, if we paid a tenth of the attention that we are to this impeachment show, to these core issues, we could be paying for health care for people. We could be paying for housing. We could be paying for infrastructure. We could be creating jobs. And that's what we need as a collective to talk about. And that's why, I'm sorry if this upsets you, because it's the truth, that Barack Obama said that he would campaign against Bernie Sanders. We need Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or an actual progressive. Gary brought up Paul Wellstone. Paul Wellstone knew what these problems were 30 years ago before he died. And he said the Democratic Party has lost much of its credibility with working class and low-income people. It retards progress towards presenting a genuine alternative. This class is not a genuine alternative. Pete Buttigieg is not an alternative. Joe Biden is not an alternative. And we need, every one of you needs to get on the phone and call your senator, call Senator Smith, call Senator Klobuchar, and ask them, hey, I just read in the Star Tribune that FedEx and Amazon and Google and Boeing, they don't pay any federal taxes. Why do we have to pay federal taxes if these corporations don't? And in closing here, if I could talk about Bolivia quickly.
Let's actually hang off on that for another day there, Mark, since we're going a little long here, but do appreciate the phone call. Yeah, we can definitely talk about Bolivia another day. But, yeah, talking about your lobbying that, of course, corporations do to not pay taxes, it's a simple cost-benefit analysis. If they're going to pay $55,000 in lobbying fees, of course, that's a very low amount compared to what they actually pay. But if they're saying, all right, we'll pay $55,000 in lobbying fees to avoid a $100,000 tax bill, of course, they're going to lobby to not pay taxes every single time because obviously they're making more money doing it that way. And I think what Mark also brought up, I won't necessarily speak for Mark, this is more me talking and kind of expanding on what he's saying, is that, yes, you actually should be absolutely paying attention to the fact that companies like Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, the FANG companies, so to speak, aren't paying any taxes and how much money is being spent on lobbying. But you can also still pay attention to what's happening with impeachment. And I think Mark's point is spot on that we should be spending as much and probably more attention to those topics as we do with impeachment. I think we can still do both at the same time, but our attention span definitely could be a little bit higher on those types of very important topics as well, like the fact that these big corporations don't actually pay any income tax whatsoever.
And what's shocking to me is whenever you go to, you know, track the money, you look for a specific candidate, how much lobbying money they get, it's always shockingly low for what they'll do. Like, you know, when during the kind of debate over like net neutrality, mm-hmm. you look at all the people who campaigned against or for net neutrality and then eventually voted for it, and it's shocking that they'll, you know, compromise their positions over such little money, sometimes as low as hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, exactly. And partially that's due to the fact that you sometimes have a disengaged public, because if you don't have anyone that's telling your elected officials, on the other hand, hey, you shouldn't be voting against net neutrality, well, yeah, they are going to listen to those pennies on the dollars, those lobbyists. So yeah, you definitely have to be active as well. But it certainly is an uphill fight to actually fight lobbyists who do have lots and lots of money, but you still have to stay active on those topics as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Kind of going on this theme of talking about lobbyists, which will relate to a point I'm going to make a little bit later on in the show. hopefully for towards the end when we get a little bit more time. And that's the idea of, should we actually go back to an old system where it was our state legislature that was selecting our senators and Congress that was selecting the president? Because in a way, that could actually somewhat solve the issue of having lobbyists. So I'll explain more about that in just a few minutes. We're at 952-946-6205. But this whole idea kind of stems from this article written in The Atlantic talking about the five myths of the Electoral College. I'll go through just a few of these, which I think are very key. So myth number one was that many supporters of the Electoral College assume that the debate about presidential selection at the Constitution Convention, like it was today, was focused on whether the president should be chosen by the Electoral College or the nationwide popular vote. And if you go back in history, actually that was not the case whatsoever. What it was actually a decision was whether it should be people who actually vote, as in like your average citizens who select the president, or actually Congress people and senators. That was actually what the debate was about. You also have the other myth talking about how another common belief is that the convention rejected popular election of the president because the delegates feared the tyranny of the majority. And actually, not the case. One of the reasons why, going back and looking at some of the writings from the earlier days of when the Constitution was written, one of the concerns they had about going with the popular vote or even the Electoral College was that people wouldn't be informed enough to make a decision because, well, there wasn't a mass media at that point. They also talk about another myth talking about how some of the delegates who favored the Electoral College also opposed the popular election of the president, and that actually wasn't the case. It was more a compromise they made with people who were in favor of just having the Senate select the president. It was kind of the compromise saying, all right, well, instead of the popular vote versus having the Senate select the president, they decided, all right, we'll go with the Electoral College system. So going to relate this to, in just a second, again, how it would be an interesting system to go back to actually having like the Senate select the president or the state legislature select your U.S. senator that represents your state, because I think that could actually fight back against some of the lobbying efforts that we currently see. Because if you actually have, let's say, your local state legislature here in Minnesota, we have our 134 members of our state house. If they were the people who were actually selecting, let's say, our senator, well, you would have actually a more direct relationship in terms of being able to just focus on one office at a time. Or like, let's say the state legislator selected a senator we weren't necessarily happy with. Well, you could go and directly talk to whoever your current state house representative is and put pressure on them to select someone new in the future. And I think that would also give people an easier avenue in terms of actually, well, lobbying themselves, not actually having like big professional lobbyists. Or, of course, lobbyists have more money to spread around, and therefore they can focus on a whole lot of different offices. I feel like I could be onto something there. I don't know if you've been listening at all, Eric, if you've followed that at all.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I just fear that people already feel so disconnected from politics, and then making it one more step removed would, I don't know. People would just
see that argument as well, saying, well, now we're telling me or putting another layer between me and my elected official. But yeah, I can see the other side of that, though, where if you just have that one office to focus on, you don't have that over-democratization, which I think is kind of a problem we have now, where often where people go out to vote, they say, well, look at all these judges I have to vote for. Look at all these city council people I have to vote for.
We're just inundated with there's so many people you have to keep track of. Who do I dislike? Who do I like?
Yeah, and then when you have a local election, I think it's easier for people to actually overcome that lobbying money because it's, well, a very local election where you're only having a district that's represented by usually a five-digit figure of like 60 to 100,000 people. I forgot what the exact number here of Minnesota in terms of how many people are represented by a state house member. But the smaller the district you have, the harder it is for big money it is to actually come in and make a big impact. So just throwing that out there as a thought. I'm going to look more into that and see how that system could possibly work. Before we take our final break of the show, we got Randy in St. Cloud who wants to talk about the post office. All right there, Randy. What's on your mind today?
Well, thanks. Just to touch on what you were just talking about, one thing I would point out is there's two senators in California, which has, I think if they were a country, would have the fourth largest economy in the world, and Utah has two senators also.
Yeah, doing the math, they actually have 35 times more people than Idaho. So
right, so that's a bit of a flaw in that idea of, and believe me, if it came to having our elected officials appoint a senator, the money is a lot easier to focus that way. So anyway, what I wanted to point out is touch on what Mark was talking about, that FedEx didn't pay any taxes because of lobbying. And it, and we keep saying lobbying, and it's bribery. Lobbying is bribery, and there's just no way around it. Those companies don't give money to politicians because they like them.
Yeah.
They give them, you perform for us, and if you don't dance right, we're going to get a different guy. We got money for different people. And so the lobbying that happened during Bush 2 was to put in this incredibly stupid idea that the post office has to fund pensions 70 years out. So they're funding pensions for people that aren't born yet. And that was done specifically so that at the end of the year when they do all go through the numbers, they go, oh, Christ, the post office isn't making money. We got to get rid of that. And the real reason they want to get rid of it is there's a ton of employees, and they're all union, and companies like FedEx and UPS have thought about it, but they're really stupid because the reality is in areas where they can't afford to have deliveries by themselves, they use the post office to make FedEx and UPS deliveries. And Amazon's doing the same thing. I saw UPS, or I saw post office guys delivering on Sunday in my neighborhood, and I was like, what are they doing? They were delivering Amazon packages. So, but that's part of that whole thing, and that's what lobbying gets you.
I
don't
like,
have the money to lobby to not pay taxes, so I just got to pay what they say.
Right. All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Randy, and I'm for adopting that term. It's bribing. It's not lobbying, so I think I might be using that term coming up in the future in terms of what lobbying actually is, because he's absolutely right that it is bribery. And also going to the post office as well, I think Matt McNeil actually had this theory talking about how eventually, yeah, they do want to kill the post office so it can be taken over by FedEx and UPS, but ultimately once they figure out that we can't actually deliver to these very rural areas, they'll say, oh, but we can bring back the post office just to deliver to these far-flung areas.
Yeah,
because,
is the, you know, FedEx going to want to mail letters?
Yeah, they're not going to.
23 cents?
Yeah, they're not going to want to deliver to embarrass Minnesota or very rural areas like that. 952-946-6205. Going to take one final break and come back and get a preview of Robert Pilot's 5 o'clock show. Figure out what he's got going on and what he's got planned. That's on the way next here on the program.
This is Frank Brown, social justice activist and owner of the only minority-owned union print shop in Minnesota, Minuteman Press Uptown. Customers love our high-quality printing services and graphic design. We also give back to our community. We believe in second chances and hire people who have made mistakes in the past. My own activism includes Bat in the Box, Minnesota, and limiting employment background checks with Take Action Minnesota. Choose a print shop that wants to make our community a better place. More at mpuptown.com. Minuteman Press Uptown. We print everything.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
The friendly staff at Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find the perfect holiday gift for the book lover of any age in your life. Pick up a new book or get a gift card, or even have an author sign a book. This Saturday at noon, you can meet and have author Alan Eskin sign his new book, Nothing More Dangerous, a stunning small-town mystery and coming-of-age book. That's Next Chapter Booksellers for your holiday shopping, 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul, or nextchapterbooksellers.com.
By the way, I highly encourage you to go over to Next Chapter Booksellers, as they have a number of authors coming into town, and it's basically just a meet and greet, not an actual reading, but your chance to chat with those authors and get them to sign their books as well. Hey, we got Julie on Minneapolis who's been hanging on the phone lines for a little while here. Julie, got to make it really quick because I got to get to Robert Pilot.
Yeah, just real quick. First of all, it's unfortunate the Democrats were down with hurting the post office also, but I just wanted to disagree with one thing. I totally agree with everything except we really do need to keep an eye on Russia. I am worried about Russia, you know, interfering with our elections. And since the president has invited China and who knows how many other countries, and then we have our own court system that's out to hurt our elections. So that's absolutely crucial. We can't forget about it. We've got to keep bothering our politicians about that, too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Julie. Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah, you can worry about Russia. You can worry about China. But ultimately, I'm kind of with Mark. I'm back tomorrow. We'll be speaking with Quinn Nystrom and Mark Frasconi of IREB. Look forward to that. I'll talk to you later.